Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Latte of Heaven.
Title my fans or clients, then I will actually give a free reading to the person whose name I choose. And let me tell you, so far there have been some really, really creative ones. I'm having so much fun looking at what you guys are coming up with. Some of them are funny. Some of them are cute. It can have to do with my last name, which is Hevener, or it can have to do with my first name, which, of course, is Melissa. And as you know, this show is called Latte of Heaven, so it could definitely be something along those lines as well. You can really be as creative as possible, and the more creative you are, the more, I guess, the more catchy it will be, the more it will make it easier to kind of get some of these projects off the ground. And one of the amazing things about the project is it's such a big ripple effect. It's not as much about getting me out there and getting my story out there as it is I really, really want to help people. And there are different areas of serving that I'm extremely passionate about. So any kind of revenue that I would make would go back into, like, children's cancer research, domestic violence, helping children in that area, because that's also where I specialize, and also with children with autism. So it's really about serving on a larger scale. And so that's why I'm asking you guys to just be creative and help in this process, because I really want to create that ripple effect that can help people worldwide who's going through some of the struggles of being human by looking at them from a more spiritual perspective. Don't know about my book. It's actually called My Life with Robin. And what's really interesting about it is it tells the story of how my spiritual path started from a very young age of 4. But the story is actually narrated by my guide, Robin. I channeled her or connected with her very strongly for about 8 months, and she dictated the story. And not all of you know, but I have faced many, many trials in my life. And so whether you've had relatives that have had an issue with addiction, whether you've been in any type of abusive situation, financial struggles, health issues, all of those kinds of things are addressed in the book, but with humor and helping to look at those issues or concerns from a more spiritual perspective. Some of the stuff is definitely hard to read, if you know me, because you see how difficult some of the things were, but I always try to put humor in it, like I mentioned, and, you know, there's really good tools about how to think that you might be facing. And I've said this a couple times, I'll say it again. One of the things that I'm most proud of about the book is there is a love story in it. So there's a big, strong love story about the connection with my first love, who actually taught me what love was all about and romance. And I address, like, intimacy and what happens with people spiritually when that happens and when it's a soulmate or a twin flame connection. So there's some juicy stuff in there, too. Most people say that once they pick it up, they can have it finished in a night or 2 days at the most. Very quick read. So if you're interested in that, check it out. But most importantly right now, if you can come up with any names for you guys, for my supporters, that would be a huge help, and you have a chance to win a free 30-minute reading with me to be booked as soon as possible. And you can put your ideas for that, as I mentioned, on YouTube. My YouTube channel is M, like my first name, and then Hevener, which is H-E-V as in Victor, E-N-O-R, 9-4. And if you go on there, you'll see my different videos, which are called Psychic in Your Pocket, and I will do, I guess you call it a vlog, a video vlog, answering your spiritual questions. But I'm also starting to make it really fun and kind of giving you the inside scoop of what it's like to be a psychic and be a medium, not just, you know, when I'm working with clients, but everyday things that you might not otherwise think of, like For instance, yesterday I did a psychic in your pocket about what it's like to people watch as a psychic or a medium. It's a little bit different from your typical people watching because usually I'm in that vibe to connect in order to prepare for readings. And so when I'm in that heightened energy, then it allows me to really see people's auras. So even strangers that walk by, I can see a little bit of a blueprint, so to speak, of what's going on in their life. So I talk about that in the video. And, of course, I don't tap into anyone's energy without getting permission. But when I'm in that zone, that energy zone, I can definitely see a bit of an outline of maybe what they've been doing or if they're being honest about something or not. So it's a fun video. I hope you'll find them really humorous as well as educational. And if you haven't subscribed to that, please do because choose 2 subscribers from YouTube for a free email reading and then 1 subscriber or follower from Twitter. And my Twitter is also M. Hevner on Twitter. So I wanted to fill you guys in on that, and I'm going to continue to put more videos up every day, so there'll always be something interesting to take a look at or learn a little bit about. Now, tonight I also wanted to talk about something called a labyrinth. Many of you may have heard of it. It's actually, it looks like a maze, but typically the traditional labyrinth is not the maze where you can find different ways to get to a certain destination or to get out. A labyrinth is actually a pattern, but there's only one pathway that actually leads to the center of it, which would be kind of your destination, but they're usually circular, which means it's a continuum. And in pop culture, they've really become popular for symbolizing your spiritual journey. And they're often used actually in rehab centers and meditation centers because they do symbolize that continuum of life. And they symbolize also that you can get off the path, but somehow spirit usually will drag you back or God will drag you back on path once you've gotten off of it or maybe, you know, got a little lost for a while, but eventually we get back on that path. And if we continue to grow spiritually, then we hit that nirvana or we hit that utopia, kind of the highest level of spiritual evolution. And so the center of the labyrinth is considered to be that point. And the idea is that there's only one path to get there, but whatever path it is that works for you or resonates with your energy will get you to that point that you want to be in as long as you treat yourself with care and try as much as possible to project love and self-care for others. And I'm actually bringing this up because I was lucky enough today to work with some teenagers, and occasionally with teenagers, you know, there's issues of trying to figure out who you are, what you want to believe, what your value system is, sometimes issues with addiction. And I had a scarf. I actually put a picture of it on Instagram of a labyrinth that I used to have as a wall hanging, but today it's actually cold for this Florida girl. It's like 40 degrees, so I was wearing it as a scarf. But I used it to show each of the young men that it doesn't matter if you get off the path. Some of our best learning is while we stray or while we are a little bit lost because it brings us back to center. The important thing is that we realize at some point that we are kind of off course and that we have the ability to get back on track. That will get us where we need to be as far as growing spiritually. And they just love this idea because it's the idea of really finding your own path and doing what's right for you and that there's no wrong answer as long as your intention and your heart's kind of in the right place. And then it got us talking about New Year's resolutions. Now, I don't know about you guys, But usually about this time, I find it hard to stick to my New Year's resolution because I'm back in the throes of things, and then I kind of slip back into old habits, which for me, one of them was to cut back on my coffee intake. That is definitely my main vice, I would say, in this life is coffee. I have cut back on it some, but it's still, like, one of the luxuries. And for heaven's sakes, I named my radio show after coffee. So that shows you the extent of it. But I decided today, as I was talking to these young guys, that instead of, you know, being hard on yourself and saying, you know, I fell off whatever my resolutions were, I'm just going to sit quietly and really try to connect to my higher self or to my guides or to God, whatever it is that you feel comfortable connecting with. And I'm going to ask, how important is it that I stick to whatever the resolution is? And, the boys that I work with today, they had different New Year's resolutions. And so we just really talked out loud about, you know, how important it was of a priority that they kind of stick to those. And interestingly enough, they had more than one. And with very little talk, we were able to determine which is kind of more important for their spiritual growth. And it kind of took the pressure off for trying to stick to all of them. So if you set several for yourself, just kind of evaluate which one will serve you the most or help you connect to your higher self the most, and really try to focus on that. But in the spirit of the labyrinth, just remember, if you get off course, that's where some of the best learning can be. As long as you know that you're off course and really put the intention to get back on course. And really, anything that relates to spirituality and growth, you have to do at your own pace. There's going to be times when you're going to be flying by, literally. You're going to be really meditating, really on point, really feel connected, you know, really be in that happy vibe. And then there's going to be other times where you're really bogged down with bills, or you're really bogged down with family issues, or maybe it's a health concern. And that's okay, too, because we encounter, even if it's not pleasant, there's a lesson there, which will eventually help us to accelerate and to grow spiritually and evolve. So just remember that, especially on those dark days, just remember there is a lesson and there's always light at the end of the tunnel. We just have to keep moving forward, no matter how slow, to get closer to that light. And usually, the light is right there at the end of our feet. It's just when we get stuck in that the day-to-day or whatever's kind of holding us down, we can't see the darkness because we're so bogged down with whatever's going on. But it's right there in our reach, and we always have our guides there to help us too. So that's just a little bit of a, I guess you'd say, spiritual pep talk to kind of get you refocused on your New Year's resolutions. And to realize that it is a process and there's no need to feel like you need to hurry it up. Or I work with a lot of students and they say, you know, I don't feel like I'm growing spiritually. But it's actually in that limbo when you're really thirsting to evolve and you're really thirsting to learn that you're actually doing the most growing. And that's what I like to call spiritual growing pains. So that's just some things to think about. I also had mentioned in the beginning of the month that I wanted to focus on energy healing and on also just healing in general. And it's come to my attention that people really don't understand, for the most part, I would say, the impact and the importance of the energetic health. It's absolutely as important as the physical body health, because when there's an issue in the energy, it always spills over and becomes something physical or manifests itself physically. And I don't know how many of you kind of stay connected with, with the youth and with what's going on with some of the celebrities, but I'm sure if you've seen any kind of news, you've kind of seen that Mr. Justin Bieber has gotten into a bit of trouble, and he's getting a lot of bad publicity for it. And I don't condone, you know, not abiding by what the laws and not doing what we're supposed to. But we also have to understand, particularly, you know, now that I'm older, I understand that he's really going through a growing period and he's trying to figure out who he is. And so many people have set, you know, confines of definitions of who Justin Bieber is as a performer. Same thing goes for Miley Cyrus. She's gotten so much stuff, like so much negativity about really trying to express herself. Now, again, this doesn't mean that I condone some of her choices. I really try not to judge. It's her process. But she's at a point where she's trying to figure out who she is. She's trying to define herself on her own terms. And sometimes, particularly teens or early 20s, tend to think that the best way to do that is to do something kind of outlandish that will make them stand out. But what happens is it actually causes the opposite effect and causes isolation, and then usually can cause, you know, being more lost or feeling more invisible, because then they don't fit in anywhere. And so a lot of times it's really issues going on energetically. So I was watching the news and I saw a piece on Justin Bieber, and I realized there are different chakra points in his body that are really weakened. And some of that's just from lack of giving his energetic body attention. Some of that's because of things that he's been through. But really, because he's an artist, because he, you know, creates and is a musician, he would be really susceptible to crystals and to energy healing. And a friend of mine asked me today, why does it seem like so many creative people, and I don't mean to generalize, but this was literally like her question, why does it seem like so many creative people, whether it be artists or whether it be musicians, tend to, you know, to have issues with either depression or some kind of mood disorder or sometimes personality disorder? And actually, I think it has to do with overexpression of the sacral chakra, which is the chakra right below the solar plexus, around actually the reproductive area, but the sacral chakra controls creativity. And if that chakra is being overused, even though it's something very positive in their life, it actually starts to take over the rest of the chakra points, causing other imbalances. And when this has happened for a long period of time, such as for Miley Cyrus, who's been performing and dancing and singing and acting since she was a little child, and Justin Bieber, who's been singing and playing instruments for such a young age, the sacral chakra is so out of balance, it actually weakens the rest of the chakras, because none of the other chakra points or energy points are being expressed. And that kind of just, I guess, is a good example of why it's really important to have balance. And it's definitely necessary to express yourself, creativity, or whatever you're good at. But everything is about balance. And even if something is good, like musical expression, if it's overdone and the rest of the energetic body is not given attention, it will manifest in different physical or mental ailments. And so I really think, you know, if I had the opportunity to reach out to these kids, I would definitely talk to them about chakra points and also crystals, because if you're open to the creativity, you tend to have a lot of intuition, which makes you vibrate on the energy that crystals work. So usually kids or adults or teens that tend to be very creative in any form respond very well to crystal healing and chakra balancing. So I just wanted to kind of share that with you guys. And a lot of times, you know, particularly for creative people, they use the creative process to kind of get them back on track. But once they're back on track, then hopefully they implement more of a balance and then things kind of even out. And I think that will happen both for Miley and for Justin, and kind of they're finding themselves as working for them right now in terms of, you know, selling music and things like that. But it's really a period of growth. And so even if you're talking to your own kids, if your own kids or teens really like these two individuals or someone else, try not to be negative and just understand that they're going through, you know, a growing period and there's definitely something energetically going on. And realize that, and I don't want to scare you parents, but at some point your girls and boys will be teens and will be going through similar things. They hopefully won't get into trouble, but they'll be going through similar things, and it's just energetically really trying to embrace their own energy and figuring out who they are. And this is important to know if you're a teacher or an energy healer. These are some of the things that you want to look out for if you're working on kids or teens. And you can sort of familiarize yourself the symbol of the labyrinth and kind of familiarize yourself a little bit more in depth of what it means spiritually and symbolically, and use that as a visual to help kids kind of understand what they're going through. And I actually use it as a focal point when I'm getting ready to meditate sometimes, because it does have that center point, which represents their nirvana or the spiritual level that we're trying to reach. I cannot believe how fast the first half hour of the show goes, but when I haven't gotten to connect with you guys in a week, I always have so much to tell you. The time flies by. So in just a minute, I will let my dear, lovely friend Mark give out the information. You guys can call in if you have a psychic question, if you have a teen that you're dealing with, if you have pretty much any questions, feel free to ask. I'm not going to be doing mediumship this week, but happy, surprise. Next week, I do plan on focusing the show on mediumship. If you have a loved one that you'd like me to try to connect with and give you a quick message, because I won't be able to really go into detail with the mediumship, I will be more than happy to try to connect with your loved ones for our next week's show, so keep that in mind. But this week, if we could keep it more on the psychic vibe or the medical intuitive or with teens or anything I've addressed so far, I'd really appreciate it. And next week will be awesome, connecting with all your loved ones in spirit. And I cannot wait to connect with you guys tonight and see what your questions are. And as I mentioned, connect with you on YouTube and see what you guys can come up with for the client's names and for questions for a psychic in your pocket. So, Mark, can you give out the number for the callers?
Yes, I'll go ahead and take the break now, let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is with Melissa Heavener. She is on every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find out more about this show and other shows by going to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You can call in on 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And it's back to you, Melissa.
Okay. I thought I would go into a little bit more detail about the labyrinth. The labyrinth actually started in Greek mythology, and it was with the idea, now forgive me, I'm terrible at remembering the Greek mythology names, but I loved the stories as a kid and as a teen. And the labyrinth actually went along with the story of the creature that was half man, half horse. And it was believed that this creature that was half man, half horse lived in the center of the labyrinth. So he represented, you know, the most evolved human side of being man, and then also connecting with the earth or animals' energy, which then made them create the character that was half man, half horse. And he, because he had such a balance with his connection between being human and connecting to the earth energy, they had him live in the center of the labyrinth. So it was believed that if you could find the pathway, and as I said, the traditional ones are circular, if you could find the pathway from the circle, the outer part of the circle that led to the center, when you got to the center, you would meet this half-man, half-horse creature. And if you were able to entertain him or keep him intellectually stimulated long enough, he would then share with you some enlightened spiritual information that would immediately, when you heard it, elevate your spiritual growth and make you closer to the gods. Because, of course, in Greek mythology, it was all about the gods, and there was gods for everything, the rain gods and sun gods and everything. So if you could entertain his intellect and keep him interested, he would put information that would allow you to connect to the divine. We are actually very lucky as humans that have spirit guides, because we don't have to keep them entertained or, you know, kind of get their approval. They're assigned to us, and they are just waiting with bated breath to help us out. And so many people say, you know, I don't know my spirit guide's name, or I don't know my child's spirit guide's name. It really doesn't matter what your spirit guide's name is. You can actually make up a name for your spirit guide, and they will respond just because they are so grateful to be acknowledged in the first place. So when you're doing a meditation to connect with the guides, it is important to try to visualize them to get a sense of what they look like. But as far as the name, you don't have to stress yourself too much, because they will respond, because they'll be jumping for joy just because you've said, hey, I know I have a guide. Do you mind giving me messages or helping me feel a little more connected to you? I've also been researching a little bit more about some Native American healing practices. I know quite a bit about it, but one of them that I was recently told about was really taking the time to put your feet in the grass or on the earth, very, very healing energy. And as someone in a wheelchair who keeps my feet on footrest, I obviously don't put my feet literally on the ground that often, and so I don't get to take the benefits of the healing vibration of the earth. And I'm mentioning this because if you know someone who's in a wheelchair or has a health issue that makes it hard for them to walk around or touch the ground, working with them with crystals is great, because crystals come from the earth, and so they do get a piece of that energy. And that vibration actually helps hold us here in the physical form on earth. So that's another way to help kind of strengthen their life force and keep them here in the physical presence if that's what they want. Crystals are great for that. There's also different blankets that you can get that kind of vibrate with the earth energy. And energy healing, you can bring that in too. But there's a type of wood called Palo Santo wood that can also be burned that vibrates with the vibration of the earth. And if you burn it, it can literally like raise or lower your vibration to be in sync with the earth's energy and really help with regenerating cells or with just helping overall health or with pain management. And I mention that also because in some of these places where they're doing the recoveries or the meditation practices where the labyrinth is, they're burning this wood. So not only are you symbolically embracing the idea of the labyrinth and getting back on your path and being focused and finding your way, but you're also embracing the earth energy, which creates that balance between being a human on earth and also connecting to your spiritual energy. So again, that kind of invites the idea of balance and how important it is to embrace our energy as our human form and our spiritual form. So if you have questions about someone that may have some health issues and really don't get to literally walk on the earth because they're in a wheelchair or something, feel free to call in about that too, because I've learned a lot about that in my own situation, and I want to share that with people as much as possible, because that's another area of energy healing that I don't think is addressed quite as much as it should be, just how healing the earth itself can be. And a lot of people I know, particularly in Minnesota and those areas, are really struggling with the cold right now. But part of that is due to global warming. Part of that is also due to energy shifting that's happening, and the vibration of the earth is changing. And as that vibration changes, it's causing these crazy temperature changes because the literal vibration of earth is heightening, and so it's just causing these ripple effects. I do feel psychically though it's going to be calming down very soon. I think we'll have some other natural stuff going on this year, but as far as the cold fronts and the big blast of temperatures, it's going to be getting better. We are going through a huge energy shift right now, which I know a lot of people that I know are having trouble with sleeping or even like depression or a little bit of the blues right now. And that has to do with, again, this shifting of the earth's vibration. And one of the things that can help you kind of be in tune with that without freezing to death because it's so cold outside is to burn this Palo Santo wood. And also looking at the labyrinth and knowing that, you know, that this is part of the spiritual growing process, and that it's keeping us indoors can, again, reflect on ourselves and kind of look inward, because when we're kind of stuck in one place, it gives us the opportunity to meditate. And some people find it frustrating because they can't, you know, drive as easily or get where they need to go as easily. But you might want to stop for a minute and say, wait a minute, maybe this is Spirit's way of saying, I don't want you driving. I don't want you go, 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 go all the time. I want you to sit quietly and really just listen for messages and really think about little things that you can do to be more in tune with your higher self and your guides. Even if you're not the greatest at meditation, just take the time to, if you can find Palo Santo wood, maybe burn a little bit of it and ask your guides to come in. All guides and angels, they love the vibration of it because, again, it resonates with the crystal energy and the earth energy. They'll come right in. It's a great way to also create that vibration for your meditation space. And it doesn't have the same smell as the sage, because sometimes when we burn the sage, it has a very strong smell. And some people are, you know, a little bit disturbed by that. So if it bothers you, the Palo Santo wood is a great thing to use as an alternative to sage. It's so important to use sage at least once a month, but if you're like me and you're a saging queen and you sage at least once a week or once every 2 weeks, can be used every other week or something, and it doesn't have the same kind of smell to it. So that's something else that I just wanted to share. And if you type in labyrinth in Google, you'll see many examples of them. And you could actually print out an image of a labyrinth. And what I like to do is actually print one out, visualize myself as a little circle, and kind of close my eyes and ask my guide, on the labyrinth, where am I, or how far away am I from the center or from where you're trying to get to that spiritual heightened vibration? And it's amazing because even at different points in the week, if I do this maybe once or twice a week, the second time around, I'll be in a completely different spot. And it's either closer to that circle, more spiritually connected, or further away from it? And I kind of have to ask why. But again, you have to remember that when you're farther away, it means that you're going through a learning process, which will then accelerate your spiritual growth at a later time. So there's never like a wrong answer or something to feel bad about. It's just an ongoing process. And that's a good way to begin to connect with your higher self and really start to feel when your energy is resonating with your spiritual growth. Yes?
Okay, I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
All right, James,
hello?
You're on with Melissa.
Hi, I'm James. Hi, I'm James. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Okay.
My second question is my love life, and I was just wondering when you see me, like, meeting a good girl.
Okay, hold on 1 second, please.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I actually do see someone new coming in for you, but I feel as though they're not going to be coming in until around April. My guide is saying it would probably be about the second week of April because she's using tax time as the marker, which is April 15th. But around that time, there'll be someone new coming in, and I feel as though the energy is not only kind of what you're looking for in a love interest, but also will be very compatible with you. So it'll be almost like you were separated at birth, but then have that romantic element to it. So very,
yeah.
Just very compatible. And you know, if you're a night person, then she'll be a night person, or if you're a morning person, she'll be a morning person, but very much in sync with your own energy. And
now,
I feel as though there's been a delay in meeting this person because you had to get to a certain point in your own growth to know what it is or what qualities that you'd really appreciate. And in order for this person to come in so that you could really recognize, you know, that they are the things that you're looking for in a partner. And so you're now at that point where you'd appreciate some of those qualities. And so energetically, it's become a really good time to connect with this person. And I feel as though this person will come into your life in or around April 15th. And usually when I get a date, there's maybe a 2 to 3 week window, but I'm usually pretty good with my dates. So it looks like literally spring will be full of love for you and new beginnings in that area.
Now, it's not somebody, so I never met her. It's somebody new.
It feels to me as though it's a new energy, although I do feel as though you will, and this happens quite often because, of course, our friends or people that know us already know what we're like or what our energy is like. So I think it's someone you may know now already knows, and you're going to meet them through that person. So it's not, you're just going to be walking around and, you know, be introduced. Someone else is going to kind of intervene and bring them to you, so to speak. So just be on the lookout for someone mentioning that they met someone new that they'd like you to meet, or if there's a friend gathering and they say, hey, come along, that person will be there. But they'll definitely be crossing your path in or around April 15th.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Have a great night. Can you keep me on mute so I can listen to the rest of the show?
Sure.
All right. Anicia, you're on with Melissa.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
You have a question?
Yeah, I would like to know about my future love life.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. This is interesting. I actually see someone that you've had a connection with or a relationship with before, coming back. But it feels as though things kind of, you separated or things were kind of distant for some time, but this person is going to be coming back. But the good news is that it's not going to be like a repeated pattern of what happened before. You've grown and the person's grown as well. So it's going to be like a fresh new relationship because you're going to come in with a new perspective. And interestingly, I don't know whether it's literally or energetically, but the person does feel a little bit older than you. Not a huge amount, but maybe by 2 to 3 years. But I feel like it's someone you already know that's going to be coming back and kind of stepping into that role. But it'll be like a new relationship because both of you have changed and grown since your last encounter with each other. And I feel like this also would be happening probably in late April, early May.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Paige, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I'm calling from Indiana.
Yay.
I just want to know, like, about my future, where things will take me, like, college-wise or maybe after college, like, something around that.
Okay, sure. Give me 1 second here. Interestingly enough, I definitely see you doing well in college. I do feel like towards the second half of college or towards the end, maybe the last year, you may, I feel like you'll be in the same school, but there'll be an opportunity to travel. I don't know if it'll be to like a sister school or something like that, but there'll be a program in school that will allow you to travel to where there's warmer weather. It feels like there's a pull even to the West Coast, and I feel like you'll really connect with that energy, and you won't be there for a long period of time, but it'll give you a chance to kind of travel and sort of see that part of the United States, and it'll actually open doors for you to meet people that will help you in your career choice. You have a lot of creative energy, but you're also very, I guess you'd say, like, sort of analytical, too. So I see you being able to incorporate your creativity as well as your practical side. There feels like there's definitely an element that relates to computers, but it's not completely what you'll be doing. There's going to be some travel in the United States, but to a different coast, that's really going to open doors for career. And I feel as though you'll kind of stick to your course or what you're interested in, but you'll make a little bit of your own path in that actual area. And there's definitely some connection to computers with that, but with a creative element to it as well.
And I also, my grandma has called into your show a few times, and she has had a plan to move out of the country. And I was the one person out of the family that stayed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I definitely see, as I mentioned, there will be travel to the West Coast. And then eventually, you know, there'll be travel also overseas. But I still feel as though you'll remain kind of stationed in the U.S., but be able to, you know, with flexibility, go back and forth. And I think in terms of your career, it'll allow for you to travel as well. But for some reason, my guide is telling me that there's a very strong connection for just travel in the United States that will happen first and kind of set that path for you. But I do see you being able to visit your family and everything overseas as well.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a nice night.
You too.
Nicole, you're on with Melissa.
Hi. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks. Lately, I've had this one area in my life where I've been really insecure. It's kind of, I had a friendship with someone, and it's become more. But then I think a past relationship is causing me to be insecure. So I'm just so paranoid. And I'm trying to figure out what to do to kind of clear it. And
okay. Well, as you're talking, one of the things that came through very strongly is you need to strengthen your solar plexus chakra, and that's actually the stomach area, because that is actually the strongest energy point on the body. But when we strengthen that, it helps strengthen our own center energy, and it helps with insecurities. And even when those insecurities become a little bit obsessive or become a little bit, you know, like overtaking our life a little bit, it mm-hmm. helps to kind of contain that because our own energy becomes stronger. So you can use a citrine stone, and you can also use a sunstone to strengthen your solar plexus. It's really important to call in Archangel Raphael, and the color that resonates with Raphael is green. Call in Raphael and ask him to cut any energetic ties that are not serving you, and replace them with people and energy and situations that will strengthen your energy. But the important thing is when you ask him to cut these energetic ties, ask him to then seal over the places that he's cut with healing green light or healing white light, and seal them over with love. And usually when you're working on energetic ties like that, you want to do this at least, I usually recommend doing it at least for 2 weeks, once a day, asking that they just be cut and removed and sealed over with healing light. And then the stones I mentioned, citrine and the sunstone, will help to strengthen your energy, as well as once you call in Archangel Raphael, wear an amethyst, because that will protect the areas where he's cut those energetic blocks. And if you do that consistently, that should help a great deal, because usually it's an issue with the solar plexus being weakened when there's those kinds of things going on. Sometimes people think it's the heart chakra, but the culprit is usually a weakening of the solar plexus.
Okay. Okay. Could I ask another question real fast?
Sure.
Somebody close to me has been diagnosed with early stages of cancer, and
mm-hmm.
I've not shared a lot of my intuition with them, but is there anything I can do to help this person or just be there to support them and their family?
You can, you know, just be there when they ask you to. The thing is that cancer is a very private, you know, it's a private thing that people go through, and some people choose to be very open about it and talk about it and get support that way, and other people choose to get support from their inner circle and keep it more private, and there's really no wrong or right answer. It's just a personal mm-hmm. preference. Sometimes it has to do with their own spiritual growth, but just be there as much as possible. One thing you can do is if you have a picture of the person, you can mm-hmm. put a rose quartz on the picture of the person, and all that does is it just sends loving energy to them, and you would just, again, call in Archangel Raphael and not necessarily heal them, because you have to get permission from them if you're going to send healing of any kind, but ask mm-hmm. Archangel Raphael to help strengthen your connection and help you to know how to be there as best for them as you can, and also strengthen the rose quartz and send them as much love as possible. Because the best thing you can do, at least energetically, if they're not so much open to energy healing, is just try to imagine sending them as much love as possible, because the love energy and the love vibration will only help the healing, no matter where they are in the process.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, Ann, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm thankful for this chance to talk to you.
Yay, thank you.
My questions are in regard to finances and how I can best put my energy somewhere to get them. We've just dodged a foreclosure for a few months. I've tried looking for jobs, and they just don't look like that's going to help a lot. And I'm totally creative, photography, interested in healing, haven't figured out which modality is right for me. I'm just kind of so many options, and nothing looks totally promising.
Okay, give me one second here. Just to ask my guide to give me a little bit more direction, and we'll see what we can do.
Thank you.
Okay, one thing that's coming through very strong is there's a type of energy healing. It's actually called magnified healing, and she's mm-hmm. saying that you would really resonate with that energy. So I definitely would look into magnified healing, and it actually complements Reiki healing or any kind of other energy modality that you're interested in. It's only like a complementary technique, but it came up in another reading today, and so when she showed me the symbol for it, I knew it right away, but that's definitely one modality that I think would resonate well with you. And when you're looking at these modalities like separately, sometimes it can look a little daunting as far as, you know, trying to generate, you know, financial gain from helping and serving, but it's absolutely possible. And the more modalities that resonate with you, that you feel a connection with, that you can really sink your teeth in, so to speak, the more it'll open doors for you to expand that business that you want to do. I do think that some type of healing will be a little bit of a slow process, like growing your clientele, but you do have a lot of healing energy, so I think word of mouth will be huge for you when it comes mm-hmm. to marketing, so you won't have to spend money towards that. So even if you have to spend a little extra money, like on studying some of the modalities, you're going to save money because you won't have to advertise. It will really take off by word of mouth. It'll just take some time. I don't see you having to move right away, so I think you still have time in your current space. I would say at least about 4 months' time, maybe a little bit more than that. But you still have some time, so you don't have to feel too rushed about leaving your current living situation. And just kind of continue to investigate those modalities as much as you can, and you'll really start to feel when one resonates with you. And when you feel that, just financially, you know, embrace it and study as much as you can. And, it's definitely part of your path because you have an extreme amount of healing energy in your energy field. I feel it. So mm-hmm. you're on the right track with that. And there's definitely a connection with not only the energy healing, but something with either nutrition or I don't know if it's like nutritional supplements or like a type of lifestyle or dietary supplemental thing too. But I see that as being part of your path as well. I hope mm-hmm. that kind of helps you a little bit.
It does, except that it doesn't bring any money in. I really want to bring in money. I'm a photographer. That's the main thing I have going, and the word of mouth hasn't really pulled it in too well.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm a photographer, and the word of mouth hasn't pulled it in so well, the money.
Oh, I see. Okay. But with the word of mouth, I really saw it with some elements of healing also. So just keep that in mind as something that I do definitely think will develop for you. But also in terms of photography, it's really important that you have now I'm not that familiar with photography, so forgive me if I don't word things properly, but the way my guides explain explaining it is you need a really quick turnaround, I guess, from the time that you do the shoot to then having the pictures available or something. So if there's something that you can do to kind of speed up the turnaround process, that will help in that area. And also just with doing even more social media marketing, which is completely free, like through Facebook and even Instagram. Instagram is huge for marketing, particularly photographer, because I know several photographers that were, you know, just really starting out, and they've got a huge following on Instagram, and now their photography business is doing quite well. So that's something else to become familiar with, and that's all free marketing, too.
Okay. Well, I so appreciate you talking to me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.